Welcome to the Arrowhead Fanatic Podcast.
With my husband.
And my father, Jason Thomas.
What up, Chiefs Kingdom? I wanted to give a shout out real quick to my daughter, Madison. We celebrated her 13th birthday this weekend, and she's an incredible young woman, and I am extremely proud to be her father. I didn't get around to watching the game until Sunday evening, this evening, so I'm a little bit late with the podcast. The Chiefs did lose to the Pittsburgh Steelers 17-7 Saturday night. Of course, scores and preseason games really don't matter. I believe in last week's podcast, I even got the score wrong for the Chiefs and Bengals preseason game because I honestly wasn't paying attention to it that much. You know, it's much more exciting just to watch the young players and see how they're coming along. I did want to let everybody out there know that, you know, each week I'm probably going to write something and put it on arrowheadfanatic.com. I wrote quite a bit last year. This year I probably won't be writing as much, but especially with these preseason reviews, I'll be writing something about each game. And then if you ever want to get a hold of me or contact me, you can email me at arrowheadfanaticpodcast@gmail.com. You know, I would love to hear any questions or any advice, anything like that you guys have out there. And of course, you can always get a hold of me on Twitter at jthefan1. I'm not really that good of a follow on there, but I definitely do enjoy Twitter and just seeing everybody interact with each other while I just kind of eat popcorn and watch everything go on. Now, the first thing that popped out to me in the game last night was really how much the first team offensive line kind of struggled in that game. And I talked, you know, on the first preseason game that I thought, you know, they struggled a little bit in that game, and it definitely continued. There was a play where Wiley and Fisher faced a stunt. Fisher was definitely late recognizing that it was a stunt, but he did recognize it. He got out to the outside guy, hit him. He left his feet when he hit him, and the guy was going to get to the quarterback, but he was able to get his body there. Wiley, even though he recognized it, he just wasn't able to get his body in front of the guy he was blocking, and he's actually the one that gave up the sack. He recognized it. He just wasn't able to get his feet over there in time. And you know, it's definitely something I really hope they, you know, get worked out before the season starts. And Mitchell Schwartz, he didn't look that great to me again. Of course, he was going up against TJ Watt, who is a heck of a good young player. And I believe, you know, he got a sack against Schwartz, and then the next play came really close again. You know, he was just giving them fits. It's very early in the preseason. They still got 3 weeks before they play real games, and I'm not too worried about this offensive line. I think they just need to play together a little bit and, you know, get healthy, get everything down and ready for that first week against the Jacksonville Jaguars, because they have a very good defensive line, and we definitely want our offensive line playing well going into that game. Something that did catch my eye just a little bit, they showed a little bit of the pre-play running by Tyreek Hill in this game, and then I noticed later on they had Hardman do some of that same stuff, and I was kind of wondering earlier when we drafted Hardman if he would spell Hill a little bit during the regular season with that pre-play motion, because Hill runs so much you know, before each play, and you know, Hardman's got that kind of speed, and he can make people follow him around too. So, and the Chiefs don't always use wide receivers to do that. Sometimes they use running backs. So Damian Williams, Darwin Thompson, those guys that you can split out as receivers and can kind of do some of the same thing. And that's important for a couple of reasons. One, you know, when you've got a wide receiver running across the field, it you know, the whole defense kind of looks that way, and you can go misdirection and run a play, you know, the other direction. Or it also kind of gives Patrick Mahomes a hint on what the defense is playing. If one defender runs across the field covering the receiver, then he knows it's probably some sort of man coverage. If they just let him run across and nobody follows him specifically, then you know it's going to be some kind of zone coverage. So it gives Patrick Mahomes a little bit more information before the ball is snapped. Let's see, what was next? The next thing that jumped out to me was Reggie Ragland. Reggie Ragland is slow. I think we all knew that. He wasn't playing middle linebacker last night much when he was in. They had Neiman in there at middle linebacker, and Ragland was playing on the outside. And, he just wasn't able to get to the sideline. He got beat a few times in the run game. He just looks a lot better to me when he's a middle linebacker and he can just, slam into a gap and kind of help blow up the offensive line. But he's not really that great sideline to sideline. And something else I noticed was that he was still in there in the middle of the third quarter. It's not like, Hitchens, I don't think, has played a snap yet, has he? He might have played, in the first couple series. But, Ragland, there's a lot of talk about him being the starting middle linebacker, and I'm not so sure. Emmanuel Ogba played quite a bit to start this game. I didn't see anything out of him that looked impressive to me at all. He didn't get much push. He got beat around the edge a couple times on the runs. He did get his hands up. He came really close to tipping two or three passes. He definitely had that on his mind, you could tell, but I didn't see anything out of him that really jumped out to me. And then Jeremiah Adichu, who had a really good week in the first preseason game, he didn't really jump out to me this week either. I think part of it is that the Steelers just have a better, better tackles on their first, second, and third team than Cincinnati does, so it was a little bit more of a challenge for those guys rushing off the edge. Ben Neiman still looks, impressive to me. Definitely when the Steelers were passing and he was in zone coverage, he was active, and I like to see that. He was running with guys across the field. He wasn't just standing there flat-footed. He never looked panicked. Of course, Deion Yelder, he had a couple catches, one really nice catch, but he got hurt, twisted his ankle. It looked kind of like a high ankle sprain, and I heard that he was on crutches and in a walking boot after the game. And those can be kind of difficult to recover from quickly. So, Blake Bell, it looks like he's definitely got a line to the number two tight end now. We will see, if he can stay healthy and really secure that role. But honestly, what little bit I saw of Yelder last night looked more impressive to me than Bell. Yelder's just, a better route runner down the field than Bell is, I believe. But Bell is probably better with the stuff around the line of scrimmage and maybe some of the shorter routes. Just kind of got to see where the injury leads Deion Yelder down the road. Joey Ivey got in a little bit in the second quarter. He's a defensive tackle. He had a couple really good pass reps. I'd heard that he kind of got some second team reps in practice last week, and I can see why, because when he gets off at the snap of the ball, he's quick. And he showed, he impressed me a little bit with that quickness. Darren Lee had a couple of really good run stuffs this week. You can really see that guy's athleticism. I thought he impressed me more this week than he did last week. I think, when he was in zone coverage, he's really active. You can see the athleticism. I think he's a little bit slow recognizing plays. But it's preseason. You aren't studying your opponent. Week to week during the regular season, you're going to study the routes. that they're going to run and what players run those routes, and you're going to have, you know, better recognition, hopefully. So I liked what I saw from Lee this week. Tano Passanio, he had a really good run stuff. You know, he looked like he played the run better this week than he did last week. You know, he got some pressure on the quarterback. That one play where he closed on Dobbs. I mean, he made up that space between him and Dobbs in no time. And it actually might not have been Dobbs. It might have been the other quarterback for Pittsburgh. But either way, he closed the space in a hurry, and I was really impressed. That's got to be scary when a guy that's 6'7", 290 is coming at you like that. He did get some more reps on the inside as a defensive tackle. You know, and honestly, to me, sometimes he looks a little bit lazy in those reps, because he gets so upright and he knows that he's not going to be able to, you know, bull rush the defensive tackle, and he just kind of stands there and tries to get his arms up and read the eyes of the quarterback. I'd like to see him, you know, stay down, get a little bit more push. But, you know, as a defensive end, I thought he was impressive tonight. You know, Thornhill, he flashed a couple times. He came in from kind of that deep safety spot, had a couple good, you know, run stops. And then, of course, he had the pass deflection in the end zone. I did notice that Daniel Sorensen played quite a bit tonight. And, you know, he played down in the box a lot, kind of in a linebacker role quite a bit tonight. And, of course, the very first touchdown that Pittsburgh had, he was down in the box as a linebacker, and they ran to his side, and, you know, they got the touchdown. That's all I'm going to say about that. Darwin Thompson, he had, you know, 4 carries for 30 yards. He looked really impressive. You know, he bounced a couple runs outside, flashed his speed, got to the corner, and picked up some yards. He had a couple more, you know, good reps in pass blocking. And I did hear a little bit of criticism about Thompson saying that, you know, he busted everything outside. And I think a big part of that was that by then the second string defensive line offensive line was in there, and they just weren't opening up holes on the inside. He had to bounce it outside. There was nowhere for him to go on the inside. So I believe he made the right decision by bouncing those runs outside. And everybody out there knows how much I love Darwin Thompson. So I was really impressed that he got quite a few reps in the first half. And it looked like maybe he's passed Daryl Williams, who really didn't get much play until the third quarter and played quite a bit of the third quarter. Now Carlos Hyde did get some reps in the first quarter. Of course, he had a fumble. You know, Carlos Hyde is not a bad running back. He's going to pick up the yards that are there. He's got some power. He's a good pass protector. But he's got to hang on to that football. And of course, me personally, I like Darwin Thompson just because he is so explosive. Damian Williams is also explosive. And I like the idea of having explosion in your running game, because teams are going to try to do everything they can with their secondary and their linebackers to stop you from passing against them. And they're going to let you probably try to get the 5 yards in a cloud of dust, you know, if you want it. But guys like Damian Williams and Darwin Thompson can take those 5 yards and turn them into 15 or 20, 25, 30, and make you really pay for playing that type of defense against the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm getting excited now. Can you tell? I want some regular season play. Kemp made that great catch, went down with an injury. I looked right before I started the podcast. I did not see any updates on his MRI. I just knew that he was getting one this afternoon or this evening. The thought process, I think, you know, a lot of people are kind of thinking he might have an ACL injury. So if he does, you know, that would end his season if that's what it is. If it's just a knee sprain, you know, there are different you know, degrees of a knee sprain. So, you know, he could be out a couple weeks or he could be out half the season with a knee sprain. You just don't really know. But, you know, either one of those injuries is just bad luck, because Kemp seems like a really good guy. And that was a heck of a play he made when he got injured. I do think if he's injured for the season, it does kind of clear up the wide receiver, you know, the six that make the team, because Garrett Dieter has not been able to practice, you know, at all this training camp. Kemp, if he's hurt, that's two spots there. And if, you know, we've got Tyreek Hill, we've got Sammy Watkins, we've got DeMarcus Robinson as the top three, and then we've got Mecole Hardman. And I'd love to see Byron Pringle and Cody Thompson be 5 and 6. Both those guys looked impressive last night. Pringle had a couple catches. He ran some really good routes. Cody Thompson, you know, that guy, he made some plays last night. I think he had 7 catches for 69 yards. He was creating a lot of space. You know, if the quarterbacks had been a little bit quicker getting him the ball, I think he would have made some bigger plays. There were a couple plays he didn't quite make it to the sticks to get first downs, where, you know, he's got to run those routes a couple yards deeper in those situations. But the quarterbacks need to get him the ball faster. And one thing I wanted to point out that I definitely noticed when I watched the play, but last night when I was looking at Twitter, saw some people kind of criticizing Thompson there, and I don't know which broadcast they watched, but you know, he had a play over the middle where I believe it was Shermer threw him the ball. He jumped up, had a defender in front of him, got nailed, but it looked like he probably should have caught the ball. It would have been a tough catch, but you would have loved to have seen him catch it. Well, when they showed the replay, the defender in front of Thompson got a finger on the ball. So it changed the way the ball was spiraling, and the guy was so close to him, he had no time to react to that tip. So, you know, I don't think hardly anybody is going to catch that pass when, you know, the guy gets a finger on it that close to you. It just changes the direction of the ball just enough that, you know, it's going to make it extremely difficult. I'm going to keep motoring on through. I'm sorry if I'm sounding a little bit sluggish tonight. But I didn't get around to this until later, and I have had a lot of trouble recording this podcast. I don't know if it is my laptop or the microphone, but it took me a while to get started, and this is take like 50 on this podcast, so I am getting just a little bit tired here. I did want to point out, you know, I talked about the first team offensive line struggling, the second team offensive tackles really struggled too. Pittsburgh left their starting outside linebackers in there, so you know, the Chiefs' number two tackles were going against Pittsburgh starters, and they kind of got ate up. Adino Boyd definitely got ate up by TJ Watt multiple times, and Cam Irving got beat by Bud Dupree multiple times. I'm just not a big fan of Cam Irving. He is definitely not a tackle. And if that is how he's got to make this team, then, like I say, I don't think the Chiefs need him on this team. And it really made me sick, because Irving gave up a sack, I believe, in the second quarter. And Cody Thompson had run a terrific route and was wide open in the middle of the field for a touchdown. You know, but there just wasn't enough time, because Irving gave up the pressure so quickly. Of course, Mecole Hardman. Mecole, what do I keep calling him Mecole? It's Mecole Hardman. He caught the Chiefs' one touchdown. He had a beautiful, you know, kind of stutter step move. And, you know, he hits full speed so fast that he left that corner in his dust. And that's one of the things that's really impressed me with him, is how fast he hits top speed. It seems like in 2 or 3 steps he's you know, going 100%, and that's an incredible talent to have, because, you know, people talk about 40 times, but really with football, that 5 and 10 yard speed is more important, and he's definitely got that 5 and 10 yard speed to create separation that quickly. You know, Herb Miller, he made a couple plays at corner. He also got roasted a couple times. I saw a lot of people talking about him on Twitter, and kind of how good he was and how bad Charvarius Ward was. And honestly, I thought Ward, he did give up a couple plays, but he made quite a few plays last night. He made quite a few plays in the run game coming up and making run stops. So I'm not sure that Ward should be starting right now, but he's definitely playing a little bit better than people are probably giving him credit for. And Herb Miller, you know, he's definitely, you know, somebody that has a chance to make this team. But I think we're getting a little ahead of ourselves to start talking about him, you know, actually playing. You know, you could see in the one play where he got torched by James Washington, he really didn't misplay that. It was just the fact that he was too slow to keep up with Nate Washington. And you know, that's not something that's going to get better. But it's something that he's going to have to learn just how to play with, because he's not going to be a physically, you know, dominant player in the NFL. So he's going to have to learn some things. Let's see, Allegretti played center quite a bit in this game. He had a few low snaps. You know, one was a fumble. You know, I believe it was more on him than it was on Chad Henne. He just wasn't getting the ball quite up enough, and that's understandable. He hasn't, you know, played much center this camp or preseason so far. He's kind of been moving around, so it's going to take him a little while to get comfortable. And I also noticed that, you know, when he didn't have anybody in front of him to block, he was looking around for somebody to block, but he wasn't finding somebody to block. You know, and that was one thing that Mitch Morse was fantastic at, was he was always blocking somebody. He was never just standing there. He was helping somebody. And that's, you know, something that Allegretti, to me, last night looked like he could definitely improve on. And I do have some high hopes for Allegretti, you know, down the road someday being a guy that, you know, could possibly start for this team. Let's see, second page of notes here. I did notice that Justin Hamilton came in later in this game. You know, he didn't come in as quickly as he did in the first preseason game, but he did make some plays. Mark Fields made a couple of really athletic plays at corner. That guy's got some speed. He's got some ability. Man, I hope, you know, he can make this team, because he looks like somebody that could actually help this team. I don't really, you know what his problem is 100%, why he wasn't drafted, but when you see him compared to the other guys that are out there at the same time, I mean, he was going up against James Washington in the second half. James Washington is going to be Pittsburgh's third receiver, so it's not like he was going up against a nobody. And James Washington is a speed guy, and Fields was with him step for step. So I really thought that was impressive, because a lot of the corners you're going to see in the second half of preseason games just aren't that athletically gifted. But Fields is. Now, I did watch all of Colin Saunders' snaps. You know, he played quite a bit in the second half. Now, you know, in the first week I wasn't impressed with him at all. This week I was a little bit more impressed with him. He wasn't really winning on any plays, but he wasn't losing on plays like he was in the first week. He was kind of holding his ground, you know, and to me that was an improvement. You know, we'll see what he can do in week 3 and week 4 of the preseason. I'm sure he's going to play a lot in week 4, but as much as I like Colin Saunders, I think it's definitely going to be some time before he shows, you know, any ability that he's actually going to play in the regular season. You know, it might take a full year of him getting stronger. I did notice, you know, he was kind of locking up with the guard across from him in these passing situations, and he was just kind of holding his ground. And I believe, you know, they wanted to give him a blow in the fourth quarter. He went out. Joey Ivey came in and just instantly, boom, two plays in a row, had pressure on the quarterback going up against the same guard that Saunders was going up against. He just had a lot more explosion and power. So Saunders has a way to go. I'm not down on him. It might just take him, a year or two to get the strength and speed built up to the NFL level, honestly.
Now it's time for football knowledge,
where Jason will discuss different terms, tactics, and schemes, plus how they relate to our Kansas City Chiefs.
So this week, I want to talk about the different tech spots along the defensive line. We've all heard of a one tech, defensive tackle, or a three tech defensive tackle, or say a wide nine defensive end. But not everybody knows what that means, so I'm going to do my best to explain it. Now, I need you to picture the offensive line. You've got your center, you've got your guards on either side of the center, you've got your tackles on each side of the guard, and then we're going to go ahead and put a tight end on each side of the tackles. Now, directly in front of the center is your zero tech. So that's a nose tackle that's lined up straight in front of the center. You see that more in a 3-4. Dontari Poe was a zero tech, a nose tackle. Had a couple great seasons for us. Now, every even number lines up directly in front of an offensive lineman. So your two tech is going to be directly in front of the guards on either side. Your four tech is going to be directly in front of a tackle on each side. And then your six tech would be directly in front of your tight ends on either side. And I've never really heard an eight tech mentioned, so I don't really know if that's a thing. Now, as far as your odd numbers go, your one tech is going to be the gap between the center and the guard. And a one gap defensive tackle is still, to me, a nose tackle. And that's going to be kind of the spot that Derek Nnadi plays this year a lot on the defense. And then your three tech is going to be the gap between the guard and the tackle. Of course, Chris Jones is the three tech on this team. That's a spot where, it's still important to be able to be stout and stop the run. But, you also want to get some pass rush from that three tech defensive tackle. And the Chiefs got a really good one. The five tech is going to line up just outside of the tackle, in the gap between the tackle and the tight end. And then a seven tech would be just outside of the tight end. And of course, there is also a wide nine, which that's a guy that lines up, a couple steps even further outside of that. So they are really wide of the offensive line. And this allows guys to get a couple steps into the offensive tackle. It can build momentum for a bull rush, or it can set up the offensive tackle for a move if the defensive end has some good speed moves. Now, the Chiefs' defensive ends are Frank Clark and Alex Okafor. I don't think either one of them will probably be lining up, in a wide nine. Probably more like a five and a seven. But it's really interesting to me because, like in the first preseason game, we saw Tano Passanio line up as a wide nine, and then we also saw him line up as a three tech. So, he really had some flexibility and moved around. And of course, Chris Jones, there are a lot of people that think that he can play three tech and that he could also move outside a little bit farther. And we might get to see that a little bit when the season comes around. That is all I've got, Chiefs Kingdom. I hope I cleared the techs up a little bit on the defensive line. I hope you have a great week, and go Chiefs.